Praise the Lord, church. I'm glad to come in here on a weeknight. I'm glad I can feel his presence on a weeknight. I don't have to have a Sunday. I can have a Tuesday. I can come in here and worship him and praise him. How many feel something in the house tonight? I feel something in the house tonight. You don't have to leave here unchanged, but you can leave here changed by the Spirit of God. If you have your Bibles, I don't want to keep us too long tonight. I just thank God for the privilege to be in his house one more time. One more time. We're going to go to Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 13. We're going to do a little bit of reading here and start in verse 17. And you're glad God watches over you and I. He watches over you and I. Brother Basil did an amazing job Wednesday night. He said that there's eyes in the sky. There's eye in the sky, and he knows exactly where we're at today. Verse 17 says, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Heman, Shishai, I'm going to try to say all these, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt, and they came into the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought up of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of Israel, the children of Israel, into the wilderness of Paran and to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, and he said, We came into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Let me understand tonight, God has a promise for you and I. God has a promise for you and I. Verse 28 goes on and says, Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities that are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once. And what? And possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. How many understand there's always going to be the naysayer? Verse 32 says, Don't worry, I'm almost done with the chapter, so that means we're getting close. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come from the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Tonight I want to talk about fight for the promise. Fight for the promise. Let's lift our hands as Pastor prays over this word. Let's worship him, and let's get our minds centered and stayed on him tonight.
Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Joe tonight to speak into this body and to bring a word that will uplift them and encourage them and build up our faith tonight. We ask you for it. We thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated if you're going to fight tonight. If you're going to fight. I got a simple question for this church tonight. Are you willing to fight for what's yours? Are you willing to fight for what's yours? I mean, understand, God has something for you and I today. God has a promise for you and I today, Brother Brad. Moses had sent men to explore the land of Canaan. They weren't just any men, but they were leaders of the different tribes. They were strong men. They were men that feared God. And they were men that were supposed to be on the Lord's side. They were men that were leaders. And we understand today we have to have leaders. And these leaders were set in place to help Moses. Because he had so much on his plate, the Lord said, divide everyone, every tribe, a leader. Make a leader. And so these leaders were sent to explore the land of Canaan. 12 men, each of their own tribe, went and explored the land of Canaan. They were told to examine the land, the people, and the walls that were around the city. There they found clusters of grapes in the valley of Eshcol. The word Eshcol literally means cluster of grapes. There they cut down one cluster, which took two people holding one end of a pole to carry it out. Somebody say that's a big grape. That's a big cluster. I don't know what I would think if I saw that at Meijer when I walked through the door. I'm sure everybody would be freaking out, and it'd be on Channel 6 News, the biggest cluster of grapes found in Franklin Meijer. It'd be a sight to see. Let me understand, God does things big. God does things big. He sure does. They brought the grapes back and told Moses, this land surely does flow with milk and honey. What you told us, it surely exists. It exists. It's not just some fathom that we've come up with, some motive that we've come up with, and some idea that we came up with. No, it actually exists. It's real. It's true. What you're telling us, Moses, what God is showing you is real. It's real. They had evidence. They had hard evidence. They had evidence. They had proof of what was good in the land. They had found something worth fighting for. They had found something that was plenteous. They knew the promise was there. Let me understand that tonight in your own life. We got to understand God has a promise for you and I. And it's there. It's for us. It's for us for the taking. And can I tell you today, some things are worth fighting for, church. Some things are just worth fighting for. You may feel like you're down and out. You may feel like you're lost and confused. But can I tell you tonight, just keep fighting. Just keep fighting. Just keep doing what you know to do is right. Just keep walking in God. Just keep walking by faith. Just keep to the promise. Keep to the things that God has shown you. Numbers 14, if you have your Bibles still. Numbers 14, we're going to read verse 6 through 10. 6 through 10 here. This is the next chapter. Says, verse 6 says, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. These two were the men that stood up for the fight, stood up for the cause. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. There was one thing here they said not to do. Rebel. Do not rebel. Do not kick against what we're trying to do. Do not go against the grain here. I mean, you understand, when you're trying to do something, you don't need somebody else that's pulling you back. You don't need someone else that's holding you down. How many understand that today? We got to have people that are in one mind, one accord. If we're going to see miracles, if we're going to see the promise in this church, if we're going to see our future come to pass, we're going to have some people that are in it for the cause, in it to fight. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. Don't fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. They have no defense, is what Caleb and Jacob, or Joshua, I want to say Jacob because that's Caleb's brother. I kept saying that in my mind while I was studying this. I was like, I got to get that word, that name out of my head. Now, I love Jacob. He's not here tonight. I love him to death, but I had to stay focused. It's confusing me. Joshua, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them what? Not. Fear them not. How many understand? You cannot operate in fear. If you ever want anything from Jesus Christ, you can't operate in the fearful. You can't operate in the things that you can't control. You can't operate in the things that you cannot take in and use to you to your own ability in this place. And so, but all the congregation bade stone with them, with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. The children of Israel wanted to stone Caleb and Joshua. They wanted to get rid of them because they came with a bad report. Only two came back with a good report. Out of the 12, only two came back. That is a terrible math there. That is not a good percentage. Only two came back with a good report. These were supposed to be leaders. These were supposed to be strong men. These were supposed to be people that the Lord trusted, that Moses trusted to go out and explore, to go out and look at everything and come back with a good report, not come back with a bad report. We're pretty good at coming back with a bad report. I'm good. Lexi tells me all the time, I'm good at picking out the bad things. I'm good at picking out the bad things. But it takes someone that's in it for the fight to pick out the good things, to pick out what's right and everything. Not what's wrong with everything, but what's right with everything. The rest of the 12 came back afraid and worried, Brother Mike. They were scared. How many in here have been scared? How many of you have been here worried, afraid, wondering what's the future hold for me? What is my promise? What does that mean for me? To the others, their fear of the enemy outweighed the blessing that Jesus was preparing to give them. Not for Caleb and Joshua, on the other hand. To them, it was worth fighting for. These two men were fighters. They saw the same giants, and they saw the same enemy, and they saw the same walls, and they saw the same gates, and they saw the same land. They saw the same exact thing that the other 10 saw, but yet they still believed that they could overtake the city with the help of the Lord. They still understood, we're picking out the good in this thing. We're bringing back evidence. We got hard evidence. It's hard to beat hard evidence. It's difficult to beat something that you can hold up and say, this is it right here. I mean, understand, we got some evidence in this place. We got some evidence in this place. We got the bread of life in this place. Can I tell you tonight, your family is worth fighting for. Can I tell you tonight, your happiness is worth fighting for. Can I tell you tonight, your joy is worth fighting for. Your church is worth fighting for. Why did the Lord send them out to look if he knew that they would be afraid, Brother Jason? Why does he send us out in the circumstances and trials and in tribulations if he knows that being afraid and being scared is going to happen? I believe it's because he wanted to know if they were still going to fight. I believe he wanted to test them and say, are you still going to hold on to my unchanging hand? Are you still going to hold on to my firm foundation? Are you still going to hold to the promise that I've shown you already? What you want, what you desire, what you have, it's just within your grasp. But are you going to fight for it? Are you going to fight for it? And can I tell you that it's okay to be scared and be afraid, but we can't allow it to cripple our belief in God. We can't allow the not knowing of what the future holds to cripple our belief, Brother Timmy. It's hard not to look into the future and try to predict what's going to happen and worry about tomorrow and worry about this and worry about my next car payment, worry about the grocery bill, worry about this, worry about that. There's so many things that are so unsettled in this world. But through all that, we got to stay fighting. Through all that, we still got to look unto God. Through all that, we still got to look unto our Savior. Your disbelief in God is a white flag in battle. Your disbelief is a surrender to the enemy during battle. That's what triggered the 10 into coming to a realization of, okay, now what do we do? Their disbelief kicked in. Their fearfulness kicked in. And they didn't want to fight. Anybody ever felt like that? I just don't want to fight anymore. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of keep going on and going on. I'm sure they were freed from the grasp of Egypt, of slavery in Egypt, and they went through the wilderness, and they went through the Red Sea and all this and all that. And I'm sure that when they looked at these giants, Brother Kevin's on the front row tonight, man. Something's about to happen. Something's about to happen in this place. But I'm sure they looked at the giants, and they were like, what is going on? How in the world are we going to get past this? We just kept coming, boom, boom, boom. This is going on. This is going on. Now we have to face these giants. Lord, you promised me this, and this is in our way now. Lord, you promised me that this was going to happen for me, but this giant is in the way. These grapes that we, this hard evidence that we brought back, the food that's so plenteous, the ground that's so great, you promised me it. And how can you put something in the way of that? Anybody ever felt that way? But God had a different plan. God had a different plan. And so, I know your surroundings may look impossible. It may look hard. It may look unideal. It may seem as though the giants are in the way of your promise, but keep fighting. Stay in the fight. Keep believing in God, and He will give you what He's promised. How many believe that tonight? If we just keep fighting, keep putting one foot forward, keep on fighting, put the gloves on again and keep fighting. That's all God expects you tonight to do tonight is fight. The moment you let up, Brother Ken, is the moment when the enemy is able to creep in. Is the moment when the fearfulness starts creeping in on us. Is the moment when we start relying on our own capabilities. I don't want to rely on my capabilities. I want to rely on Jesus Christ's capabilities. There'll be those that try to tell you and I that it's not worth the fight. There'll always be those that find a reason to not fight. When you read through these couple chapters here, you find that those 10 men created murmuring throughout the camp. When they came back with the bad report, they scared everybody else. The ones that didn't even go, the ones that weren't even there to see it, they still were afraid because of what somebody else said. Be very careful of what you tell somebody else. Be very careful of what you tell somebody else. You don't know what anybody else is going through. They haven't been where you've been. And so, tonight we can't afford to be afraid, church. Don't be afraid to fight for what's yours. Even though the Word of God tells us that the crowd of people wanted to stone Caleb and Joshua for their good report, they didn't let the crowd hinder their confidence in God. They didn't let the naysayers get to them. They still stood up and said, hey, wait a minute. No, this land is good. Hey, wait a minute. This land, this promise still exists. Hey, wait a minute. Don't let this person talk it. We're about to walk it. We're about to walk it through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. And so they were still willing to fight. Joshua and Caleb were still willing to fight. We're going to go to Numbers chapter 14. To stay in the same chapter, we're going to go to verse 35. We're going to go to verse 35. We're going to read through verse 38. Verse 35 says, Now, this is still talking about the situation that's arose in this camp of the confusion of these people, the children of Israel. What is going on? These 10 are saying, we shouldn't go because we're going to be destroyed. But Caleb and Joshua are saying, wait a minute. I believe in a God. Wait a minute. I believe in Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. I believe the one that took us out of Egypt. I believe the one that took us from the Red Sea. I believe the one that's brought us this far from the wilderness. And I believe there's a promise waiting for me at the other end. And so verse 35 says, I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation. He's talking about the 10. He's talking about the naysayers. He's talking about the ones that have disbelief. At this point, he was tired of it. The Lord was sick of it. The Lord was sick of the murmuring. He forgave them, but yet we're going to read it, but yet he did something that was set in stone. What they already said to the people was already set in stone for them, for that group. I mean, understand, you can talk yourself into some trouble. You can talk yourself into some trouble. And so, I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. He's saying, if you're not on the side that Caleb and Joshua are on, you're against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall what? They shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. The Lord sent a plague amongst them. The Lord killed them with a plague because they weren't willing to fight. Because they weren't willing to fight. And so, but Joshua, verse 38 says, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh were of the men that went to search the land. They lived still. They lived through that plague. They made it through the plague. The other men had an opportunity to bring back a good report. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it messed up. They had an opportunity, Brother Eric, to say, this land is good. We trust in you, Lord. We know that you work together, all things together for our good. We know you're in it for us. We know you're on our side, and there's nothing that you cannot do. They had the opportunity at hand, and they missed it. And they missed it because they were what? Blinded by their fear. They were blinded by their disbelief. They were blinded by their natural eye. Your carnal eye can get you in trouble. It can get me in trouble. They missed out on their promise because they let their fear grab a hold of them. The promise of God wasn't enough for them. Man, every time I read about the children of Israel, I'm dumbfounded, Brother Paul, by how in the world do they keep straying away from the promise of God? The Lord brought them through so many things. And how many times have the Lord has brought us through so many things? And yet sometimes when a big thing happens to us, we tend to question God right there and say, Lord, are you really on my side? Is it really worth fighting anymore? I'm so tired of fighting. I don't want to fight anymore. I just wanted you to do it for me. Sometimes it tastes sweeter when you have to work for it. Sometimes it tastes a little bit better when you have to work for it. And so the promise of God wasn't enough for those 10, but it was enough for the two. It was enough for Caleb and Joshua. When we look at the things through the lens of mankind, we find ourselves trusting in our own talents and our own abilities. But when we look through the lens of Jesus Christ, we find hope through him. We find peace through him. We find all we need in him. How many has ever found all you need in Jesus Christ? Anybody ever been in a prayer closet where, oh, I found everything in God? Oh, I found all I need in Jesus. Oh, it's worth fighting for. Oh, what you promised me, Lord, it's worth fighting for. It's worth coming back to an altar. It's worth coming back through a bended knee. It's worth coming back through laying my face on the ground and crying out to you, Lord, one more time. It's worth the fight. It's worth the fight. What are you fighting for tonight, church? What are you fighting for tonight, church? Are you fighting just to sit on a seat? Are you fighting just to walk through the doors? Are you fighting for just to scuffle your feet against the carpet? Oh, woe is me. Are you fighting just to come in here and just routine it? Or are you fighting for something that the Lord has promised you? Or are you fighting for something that God is a family member that's in need? Someone that's sick? A job that you want, Brother Joe? A job that's been given to you? A promise that everyone was praying for you? You're going to get a job. You're going to get a job. And I know it wasn't easy. And I've been there and I've done that. And it's not easy, but it's worth the fight. It's worth putting your hand to the plow. It's worth that much sweeter of a taste when you fight for it, when it's not just given to you. When it's not just given to you. That's why the other men felt like grasshoppers compared to the sons of Anak, because they left Jesus out of the picture. Because it was just a routine scavenger hunt for them. It was just a routine exploration for them. But I believe when Caleb and Joshua went, they were looking, they were searching. They were saying, oh, I know God can defeat that giant. Oh, I know God can give me that land right there. I know that giant looks huge. I know that giant looks big, but I know a bigger God. I know a greater God. I know someone that's healed my body. I know someone that's done so many great things for me and my family. But they felt like grasshoppers. Anybody ever felt like a grasshopper before? So small, so tiny that you could sit on a penny and swing both legs. You know, it life will make you feel small. The devil can make you feel small. How many of you understand there's nothing that the Lord can't do for you and I? And I know that's easy to just come up here and say, but I'm living proof. I'm living proof. I've got a testimony. I've got something that the Lord's done for me. They left out the one that freed them from Egypt. They left out the one that parted the Red Sea. Church, the harsh truth tonight is that the Lord will leave you out of it if you leave him out of it. The Lord will leave you out of it if you leave him out of it. And I believe that those 10 spies, they had to learn the hard way of what happens when you leave Jesus Christ out of the mission. You leave Jesus Christ out of the mission. And so, God desires for you to be a victor tonight. How many understand that? He desires for us to be winners. No one wants to lose. I don't want to lose. When I'm playing a game, or I'm playing basketball, or I'm playing football, I intend to win. I don't care if I'm playing against a bunch of five-year-olds, I'm going to win. When Silas and I are throwing the football in the house, I'm throwing them on the couch. I'm pushing them around. I want to win. He's going to have to learn the hard way. I'm competitive. I didn't come this far to lose, church. I didn't come to this church to lose something. I come to this church to gain some things. I don't come to these four walls to lose all the time. I come here defeated. I came here to fight for a purpose. I came here to fight for a promise. I came here to fight for something that's much greater than what's beyond the four walls of this church. And as the singers come and as the musicians come, I want to end on this story here. It's a true story. But God, he desires us to be a victor tonight. He hasn't set us up for failure. He hasn't set you up for failure. He hasn't designed you to fail, to fall. He's designed us to win. He wants us to be overcomers tonight, church. But first, you have to be willing to fight. Before you can be an overcomer, before you can win the war, before you can win any battle, there has to be someone that's fighting. There has to be someone that's puts their boots on the soil and fights for freedom and fights for the promise. This nation wouldn't be a nation without the boots of soldiers that landed on solid ground and fought for this country. And can I tell you tonight, can I encourage you tonight to fight for the grapes, fight for your promise. The grapes were part of that promise. That was hard evidence. That was something that, hey, it exists. It's real. How many understand what the Lord's promise for you tonight is real? It's not a fake promise. It's not a lie. The Lord does not lie. The fight is rigged tonight, and it's rigged in our favor. Jesus took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. All Jesus wants us to do, all he needs is someone that is willing to fight. He just wants someone that's going to fight. He just wants someone that's going to go to war. He just wants someone that's going to take the shield of faith and go out there and say, you know what, I believe in you, God. I believe that what you promised me, it's true. If the church wants to stand tonight, I'm gonna close on this. Uh-oh. You're right. Something's about to happen in this place. God's going to move. That's what Satan's about to say. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, they're coming to the altar. Uh-oh, they're raising their hands. Uh-oh, they're speaking in tongues again. Uh-oh, they're letting their faith loose in this place. Uh-oh. That might be the next title of my sermon. Uh-oh. Pastor dares me, he said. But there's a man named Eddie Slovic who's a part of the U.S. Army. It says, Dwight Eisenhower endorses the finding of a court-martial in the case of Eddie Slovic, who was tried for desertion. Desertion. Someone that ran. Someone that ran away from the fight. I mean, you're saying those 10 spies, they didn't want nothing to do with the fight. They ran from it. They deserted God's plan. Eddie Slovic, who was tried for desertion and authorizes his execution, the first such sentence against a U.S. Army soldier since the Civil War, and the only man so punished during World War II. This happened in World War II. In January 1944, he was trained to be a rifleman, which was not to his liking, as he hated guns. In August of the same year, Slovic was shipped to France to fight with the 28th Infantry Division, which was fighting its way across northern France towards Germany. Slovic was a replacement, a class of a soldier not particularly respected by officers. He was a replacement. He was someone thrown in there in case someone else passed through the war. As he and a companion were on the way to the front lines, they became lost in the chaos of battle, only to stumble upon a Canadian unit that took them in. This was his way out, so he thought. Slovic stayed on with the Canadians until October 5th, when they turned him and his buddy over to the American military police, who reunited them with the 28th Division, now in Elsenborn, Belgium. No charges were brought. Replacements getting lost early on in their tours of duty were not unusual. So this was a usual thing of people getting lost when they go into war. It's dark. There's bullets flying around, bombs going off, everything happening. They get confused where they're at. They get lost, and no one knows where some of the guys are. And so Slovic claimed he was too scared and too nervous to be a rifleman and threatened to run away if forced into combat. So he already let some people know, hey, I'm not going to fight if you throw me out there on the front lines. That's not happening. I'm not willing to fight. His admission was ignored, and Slovic took off. One day after that, he returned, and Slovic signed a confession of desertion, claiming he would run away again if forced to fight. This happened again. He said, you know what? I'm not going to fight. If you throw me out there, it's not going to happen. And Slovak signed a confession of desertion claiming he would run away again if he forced to fight and submitted it to an officer of the 28th. The officer advised Slovak to take the confession back. He said, you know, you ought to, I don't know why you said that, but you better take it back because that's what war is all about, is fighting. You're not in the right place if you're not going to fight. And so the officer advised him, you know, this is a bad decision. You need to take it back, as the consequences would be serious. Slovak refused, and he was confined to the stockade. The 28th Division had seen many cases of soldiers wounding themselves or deserting in the hopes of a prison sentence that would at least protect them from the perils of combat. So they would hurt them, they would shoot themselves or do something wild to get out of fighting, Brother David. They would try to find a way to get out of the fight. So a legal officer of the 28th offered Slovak a deal. He said, dive into combat immediately and avoid the court-martial. Avoid the court-martial if you dive into battle right now. If you go to war right now and if you fight, we're giving you one last shot. Get in there and fight, and you won't be a court-martial. Slovak refused. He refused this offer. He was tried on November 11th for desertion and was convicted in less than 2 hours. The 9-officer court-martial panel passed a unanimous sentence, which you can almost guess it is execution, to be shot to death. To be shot to death. Slovak's appeal failed. It was held that he would directly challenge the authority of the United States and that the future discipline depends upon a resolute reply to this challenge. Slovak was to pay for his crazy attitude, his hard-headed attitude of, I will not fight no matter what. Listen, church, we don't have a choice tonight. The devil is going to fight. Why not fight back? Satan is going to try all he can do to throw you off the rails. But it's up to us to fight back. It's up to us to stand in the gap for some fight. If you can't fight for yourself, fight for somebody else. Pray for somebody else. If you're looking for answers, desertion won't get you the answer you're looking for. Running away will not give you satisfaction. Execution is what awaits behind the door of desertion. Let's say that again. Execution is what awaits behind the door of desertion. What did the 10 spies find at the door of desertion? They found execution. They were executed by a plague. The other 10 had their opportunity to join the fight but ran away. We are in a dangerous spot when our spiritual man is content with just running away. That's the easy option, Pastor, is just to run away. Run away and hide. Run away and hide from the problem. But the problem will always be there until you fight, Brother Mike, until I fight. Well, how do you fight an enemy? You hit an altar. Well, how do you fight an enemy? You pray till you can't pray anymore. How do you fight an enemy? You fast till you can't fast no more. How do you fight an enemy? You read your word till you can't read no more. I feel like Caleb and Joshua tonight. I feel like Caleb and Joshua. I feel like fighting. Anybody feel like fighting tonight? I feel like kicking the devil right in his teeth. I feel like praising. I feel like worshiping. I feel like giving God all I can because I know he's promised me some things. Numbers 14, verse 9. Numbers 14, verse 9. It says, only rebel not ye against. Now, we've read it prior, but I'm going to read it again. It says, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye. This is what Caleb and Joshua said. This is what the fighters said. This is what the ones that believed in God said. They said, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Fear them not. Fight for the promise, church. Fight for your promise.